Welcome to It's Your Ego, Stupid, a show lovingly intended for millions of spiritual, intelligent, and imperfect people like you who may at times be led into ego stupidity, a lesser version of yourself and a lesser version of life. This show will give you a much deeper understanding of what ego is, what it's doing to your life, how it can weaken your human and spiritual wellness, and how you can heal in each of these areas if needed. It's Your Ego, Stupid, will heighten your awareness of the intense link between your ego and spirit, your humanity and divinity, and the synergy that can lead to the best version of you and your life. Your host is Dr. Nick Martin, a licensed psychologist who has worked in the clinical, university, school, and private practice settings over the past 40 years, while serving as a therapist, diagnostician, educator, and consultant. Welcome again to It's Your Ego, Stupid, and now your host, Dr. Nick Martin.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Nick Martin, and thank you for listening to It's Your Ego, Stupid. As the intro said, this is a program lovingly intended for spiritual, intelligent, and imperfect people, just like you and me, who may at times be led by our ego into something I call ego stupidity, a lesser version of ourselves, and often a lesser version of life. Ego stupidity that can affect the relationship we have with our husband, wife, or partner, perhaps our son or daughter, maybe our brother or sister, or even with ourselves. Ego stupidity that can make it difficult to achieve, to climb the ladder of success, and to experience a sense of real purpose and meaning to one's life. Ego stupidity that can make it difficult to deal effectively with all of the inevitable changes, failures, stressors, or conflicts that happen in all of our lives. And ego stupidity that's making it difficult to feel genuine happiness and can often lead us to lots of unneeded or inappropriate anxiety, anger, guilt, sadness, or something I call fake happiness, which is pleasure-based happiness, often masquerading for the real thing. If things aren't going well or as well as you'd like, you've come to the right place, because a lot of what's going wrong in our lives, or not as well as we would like it to go, has much to do with our ego energy, which is serving as the fuel for ego stupidity. It's often the unseen and unrecognized source of what's going wrong in our life, both humanly and spiritually. These are lessons I've learned from thousands of people, just like you, over the past 40 years. You've taught me with your lives, your relationships, and your experiences what theorists, books, or schools of psychology could not teach me about ego. You've been my teachers. Again, I want to thank you for joining me for today's program, which will have us continuing to look at healing our ego energy with ego medicine. In particular, we'll be looking at the third contributor to ego medicine, which involves replacing ego-rooted, reality-disconnected thoughts, beliefs, attitudes, and values with those which are reality and spiritually connected. But before getting deeper into that, I want to remind you that during last week's program, I discussed the first two contributors to ego medicine. They are knowing what ego is and isn't, which is the first contributor, and tuning into your own particular ego energy, which is the second one. The first contributor involves understanding that your ego is an energy, and that it's intended to help you survive in both the daily sense as well as the mortal sense. Daily meaning that everyday stuff we all have to deal with, things that I mentioned earlier, like relationships, conflict, achievement, and so on. I also said that your ego energy is a diverse energy comprised of power, meaning how much empowerment you're experiencing within your life, flexibility with regard to your ability to seek the truth you do not know and to remove the false truths that maybe you do know, and vulnerability, your ability to healthily accept your human weaknesses and imperfections. I also talked about what ego isn't. in the form of the myths and half-truths about ego that often appear in various forms of media and literature, which can lead many people to take them at face value. These included notions that ego has an intellect, that it can actually think for us, which it cannot do. Also, that ego operates with an intentionality, meaning that it can help to form directly the thoughts and, in some respects, orchestrate our life, which it cannot do. That your ego can only operate as a negative or dark entity in our lives and never as a positive entity, which is untrue when the ego energy is healthy and balanced. That your ego can only operate in the past or future, but not in the present. Again, untrue, because when our ego energy is healthy, it can serve us within the present. And finally, that our ego can and must be dissolved, disowned, or defeated, which is untrue because it's an energy, but rather that we can heal it, as I'm suggesting. Again, each of them are myths and half-truths that work against ego medicine, which emphasizes gaining a true awareness of ego and our particular ego energy. The second contributor to ego medicine involves tuning into our specific ego energy, which is that combination of power, flexibility, and vulnerability. I spent time talking about what I called a volume scale that ranges from 0 to 10, and I talked about some of the characteristics of people depending on where they fall along the scale for their ego power, flexibility, and vulnerability. This discussion included mentioning some of the roles I discussed in The Two Voices Within for people who are at the high or low ends of the ego power, flexibility, and vulnerability ranges. As I said, you're assisted by me through my books, my website, egoandspirit.info, and this program in going about this tuning into your ego energy process. And I have and I will continue to provide you with lots of examples involving the key life areas and the kinds of thoughts and feelings and behaviors that people often get into due to the nature of their ego power, flexibility, and vulnerability. This is the part of ego medicine in which you're putting yourself under a microscope so that you can see more clearly and more deeply what is the true nature of your ego energy. It's the part of ego medicine that tells you about the amount of your ego power, flexibility, and vulnerability, and how much work you're going to need to do in healing it. Now, before I go on to talk about the third contributor to ego medicine, I do want to mention a few things about the origins of ego medicine. Ego medicine was developed because I learned from you that if we don't work on seeing the ego energy at work in our lives, oftentimes little will change in the unhealthy thoughts, feelings, and behaviors that are unknowingly dominating our lives in so many important areas, while weakening us humanly and spiritually. I've also found that many people do not realize that the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors they're engaging in are wrong, inappropriate, unhealthy, and need to change, but they still feel helpless to do anything about it. Again, that is, they do realize that some of these things are unhealthy, the thoughts and the feelings and the behaviors. They're trying to get on a spiritual and human, healthier human and spiritual path, but they are having difficulty staying on it. Does that sound familiar? I know so many people who are working hard, who want to experience a better life and seem to be taking a step or two forward, only to find themselves going into retreat, meaning that they're falling backwards in terms of the healthiness of their human and spiritual lives. And what I see going on is that they're feeling stuck despite their intellectual insight and awareness, but they can't make significant, lasting changes. So they're beginning to see the things that they need to work on to make changes in, but are really having difficulty making those things happen. The kind of changes that actually would reflect what I call experiential insight experiential insight would be that they could truly, they cannot at this point truly live what they had learned about themselves. They were just thinking it, but they were having trouble being it. Again, experiential insight is this idea that we can actually live it. We can actually be it, not that what we're trying to think that's healthy is a good thing to think, but we're also realizing we can be that in our lives. And I'm going to give you some examples as we go along today. And again, what I learned that many people were stuck in that was affecting them humanly and spiritually was their ego energy. And that it wasn't enough just to recognize the thoughts and the feelings or behaviors that often happens in more traditional forms of therapy. That there was a need and there is a need to go deeper, to better understand their source within their ego energy, and to not just challenge the inaccuracy or the irrationality of one's thoughts or behaviors and feelings. And so that's why I'm putting forth ego medicine as the main strategy for healing one's ego energy when that needs to happen. As I said last week, it's a self-help approach to working on one's ego energy by you in order to heal it where needed. And whether it's a difficulty involving your ego power or flexibility or vulnerability, perhaps two of them or all three. With ego medicine, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to meet anybody, or you don't have to adhere to any time schedule, because you're working with yourself, which makes it very flexible. And the monetary cost is minimal, because you're working with yourself while using information from my books, my website, and this program. So let's heal your ego energy where needed with ego medicine. Okay, now we're going to go ahead and talk about the third contributor to ego medicine, which is identifying and replacing ego-rooted, non-reality-based thoughts, beliefs, attitudes, prejudices, and delusions with reality-based, truth-connected, rational, logical, and accurate thinking in your life, and particularly within the 10 important life areas. Something that we can use more of, even though we are intelligent, and we are spiritual, and we are non-mentally ill people. When I say ego-rooted, I mean that unhealthy ego power, ego flexibility, or ego vulnerability serves as the energy that's fueling the formation of them by us. These and eventually additional thoughts and feelings and behaviors that we get into that are reflective of ego stupidity. They become the ego self that we take out into the world while we're trying to live in it, but often just surviving. In this third contributor, you're working on replacing non-truth with truth that is specifically related to your ego functioning. And there are lots of examples of these non-reality-based thoughts that I'm going to be mentioning later today. We don't have to be lacking in intelligence to think them. We don't have to be a non-spiritual being to think them. And we don't have to be a mentally ill person to think them. We only need imbalanced ego energy that is helping us to form them and to use them in our life. This is a process that's often occurring outside of our view until now. These thoughts are empowered because they are formed and operate in the darkness of our unconscious mind. And we often don't realize we are thinking them until now. They're also empowered because we often repeat them without questioning or challenging them, which reinforces the false truth that we can carry around with us, but we don't know it. They can be weakened and disempowered when we expose them to the light of truth, which allows us to heal from them. Your brain cannot tell you something you are thinking is false or a lie. Your brain can't tell you that something that someone else is telling you may be false or even worse, a lie. And your brain can't tell you when you're telling yourself something that's false or a lie. You have to do what the brain can't do in all three of those areas, which can be made even more difficult when our ego energy is unhealthy and imbalanced. I also want to mention that the process of identifying and replacing these ideas, they can take some time because it can be like a bad habit, in this case, a bad thought habit, that you're working on breaking. But at least we are recognizing these habits rather than blindly accepting them as truth and not in need of being changed. Something, unfortunately, that many intelligent, spiritual, and imperfect people fail to do while remaining stuck in the web of distortions and false truths rooted in their unhealthy and imbalanced ego energy. So that is why ego medicine is important and it's necessary to work with. We're coming up on our first break. When we come back, we're going to take a direct look at some specific examples of ego-rooted, non-reality-based thinking connected to a particular ego energy area, be it low ego power or high ego power, and so on. You're listening to It's Your Ego, Stupid. This is Dr. Nick, and I'll see you after the break.
Conscious media for conscious minds. OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Did you know that you have the power to change anything in your life? Did you know you can do so even with the things that you've already decided are impossible to change? Come join me, Venus Castleberg, on Outside the Impossible as I interview people from around the globe that have literally changed the things they thought were impossible to change just by using the amazing tools of Access Consciousness. Now airing Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Do you dare to believe that anything really is possible?
Hi, Dr. Nick Martin here. I want to invite you to visit my website, egoandspirit.info, where you can find lots of information on ego and download your free ebook copy of It's Your Ego, Stupid. Fix it to fix your life. Also, please visit the shop page where you can find each of my other books, Ego Therapy, Ego Spiritualism, and The Two Voices Within.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's Your Ego, Stupid, a program for intelligent, spiritual, and imperfect people just like you and me. Within this next segment, we're going to start talking about some of the ego-rooted, non-reality-based thoughts where lower ego power is at work. If you recall, last time I spoke with you about lower ego power, we talked about the sense of disempowerment that many people often experience within their lives. They're not feeling that they have a lot of control, they have not having a lot of influence, or input on what's going on with their lives. They're sort of at the mercy of life, whether you're dealing with things like change or maybe within relationships and dealing with conflict or stressors. They're sort of in a very, in some respects, helpless or weakened kind of place when it comes to dealing with many areas of life. I mentioned some roles that people start to get into when it gets to be particularly difficult, roles such as victim and martyr, the dependent, the depressive, just to name a few, the underachiever. These are people who, the more they are feeling disempowered, the more they begin to live in these kind of roles that involve disempowerment. And these are some of the thinking, these are some of the thoughts that people have often shared with me in the work in therapy. One of them is that people who are in this place, in their energy, rooted in this energy, may think that others are more important than me. That others are more important than me. They look at people, they look at themselves, and they kind of elevate others above them. They are seen as being more significant, perhaps in a sense more empowered than perhaps they see themselves. And as a result, they often may defer to them by virtue of their seeing them as being more significant, more important. And this is a reflection of being rooted in this ego energy, this low power ego energy, this kind of thinking. The alternative thought that the person needs to work with getting is to understand that they are as important as anybody else, that we are all equally important, that we're not more important, and that we're not less important. And sometimes, people may say to me, yes, I know that, or I should be thinking that, but I can't be that. As I was saying earlier, and I think I might have misspoke when I spoke about this, but they have the intellectual insight. They mean they understand that, yeah, I should be thinking I'm as important as other people are, but I'm having trouble really living that. I'm having really difficulty being that. And so even though they are intelligent, they are spiritual, and they are not mentally ill, they still seem to be stuck in that kind of a thought. So that's an example. Another example of people with low ego power involving ego-rooted thinking. I don't deserve the good things that life has to offer. A lot of times people talk about not deserving the good things that life has to offer. There's that sense of disempowerment coming through that thought that they themselves have formed. It's rooted in the ego, low ego power energy, but they themselves are thinking the thought. They formed the thought that they don't deserve things. In work with people, I've sometimes, when we're talking about relationships, if they meet somebody who could be a good partner, a person to experience different things about life with, they have a difficult time staying in the relationship. It's sometimes they begin to sabotage the relationship, coming at it as if I don't deserve this person. And as a result, they start to in some ways push them away because of their sense of not deserving them. They feel disempowered. It's not the right thing for me to be in this relationship or for this person to have to deal with me. So this is another reflection of the thought that this person formed, the low ego power person has formed, that's non-reality based because they deserve the good things in life just as much as everybody else, including those that may involve relationships, healthy, good, positive relationships. Another example of an ego-rooted, non-reality based thought is that people don't need to treat me with respect. People do not need to treat me with respect. People with low ego power are willing to accept destructive criticisms of them, falsely based criticisms that people may direct toward them. They kind of just take it on and accept them as part of what they should be experiencing because they are perhaps less than. And so those kind of messages that they might get, those kind of criticisms, a lot of times they're rooted in earlier life experiences with family, particularly destructive, abusive, emotionally abusive, mentally abusive criticism that has influenced their sense of disempowerment, and now they're doing to themselves what others had done, which is accept this mistreatment from others very readily. And the alternative thought, the reality-based thought, is I should be treated with as much respect as everyone else, nothing more and nothing less. And again, people may, from an intellectual insight standpoint, realize that is the way people should treat me, but they can't be it. They can't live it. They can't demonstrate the experiential insight of actually expecting that to be the case. Another example is, I don't deserve to be loved. People with lower ego power often have trouble with love and accepting love. And because love is a really nice, good, positive thing. It says you're valued, it says you're important, but they feel so disempowered, they find it difficult to accept that in their lives. So they push it away. They find reasons to be not be loved. But again, a non-reality-based thought rooted in low ego power energy, with the alternative being that I deserve to be loved just as much as anybody else. One more involving low ego power thoughts, involving the notion that God has abandoned me. People with low ego power often, when it comes to the spiritual side of things, feel that God has abandoned them, that God has left them behind. And as a result, this is undermining their spiritual wellness that they can experience in their life, because they're seeing that they weren't important, that they were not significant enough, that God doesn't really want to have anything to do with me because of who I am. And again, that's a thought that gets formed by the person. Ego didn't form it for them. They formed it themselves when it comes into the realm of understanding and experiencing the love, the life, and the energy that God is. They are getting a distance from it. So those are some examples of what happens for people who are needing to work on replacing ego-rooted, non-reality-based thoughts with those that are reality-based. We're going to switch now to talk about higher ego power. Higher ego power. And these are some examples of ego-rooted, non-reality-based thinking where higher ego power is at work. If you recall, these are people who experience a very intense sense of empowerment. They want a lot of control. They want a lot of power. They want a lot of influence in their lives. And they begin, when they get into the deep end of this, begin to display the kind of roles that involve being a dictator or being a narcissist, perhaps being an ultra-competitor, or being a bully, and there are others, that all of these emphasize empowerment to the extreme, at a very extreme high level. And so some of the thoughts that come off these persons' experience that they form, ego didn't form them, is that I am more capable than others. Now, we're not just talking about more capable in some areas and less capable in others. We're talking about probably more capable in all areas, because it feeds into their need to feel in control, to feel empowered by perceiving themselves as better than everybody in everything. And that's a non-reality-based thought that they have formed, rooted in their ego, higher ego power energy. And that the alternative thought is to make and realize that I am strong, perhaps, in some areas, and that others are also strong, and I need to defer to them, perhaps, in thinking about how I, you know, should be understanding or working with this particular area. But this is not the way people with higher ego power energy work, particularly at the extremes. It's almost like an admission of weakness to admit that others can be more capable than them. Another example of an ego-rooted, non-reality-based thought is, I deserve to be loved more than others. I deserve to be loved more than others. This is kind of that narcissistic flavor of the, you know, that people should look up to me. They should see how important I am or how significant I am, how special I am. And as a result, they form these kind of thoughts and they walk through the world with them. And so during their interactions with people, they need to often send a message to them that you should be thanking me and you should be loving me for how important, how special, how, you know, I am, and that you should be honored by my being in your midst. That's just, it sounds crazy for people to think that, but that's what the energy leads us toward when we're, it's too overempowered. We begin to think of these, people begin to think these kind of thoughts, and they don't even know that they're non-reality based thoughts. And it has nothing to do with intelligence and nothing to do with the absence of spirituality and nothing to do with mentally ill. It has everything to do with the high ego power energy at work. Another example is, I don't need to compromise because I'm right. I don't need to compromise because I'm right. People with high ego power have a hell of a time compromising when in situations where it would be appropriate to do so. That's difficult because when compromise for them means you have to kind of give up a little bit of control, and that's just not something they're willing to do. They cannot go there. And the reality-based thought is that everybody, or there are times when it's an appropriate thing to compromise. You know, everybody's needs are important. Everybody's ideas should be respected. But this might even sound like a good idea to the high ego power person, may even have the intellectual insight that it's a good idea, but they're not going to live it. They're not going to be it because their ego, high ego power energy is going to pull them in the direction of just keeping things exactly where they're at. And I'm going to mention one more before we shift. I don't need God. People with high ego power, particularly at the very high ends, they don't feel they need God in their life. Because in a way, as I think I said last week, that they think they are their own God. They want to be their own God. You know, God is an acknowledgement of a higher power in some respects, and they just can't allow themselves to experience that. That would be abdicating some control. And they might even give, short shrift, you know, to the idea, yeah, I know God's important and God's above me and all that stuff, but they cannot live that. They cannot be that. And these are people who are often having a great deal of difficulty, not only in the human sense, but also in the spiritual sense. Their spiritual wellness is not healthy. All righty, we're going to move over to one more, talking before the second break, which is lower ego flexibility energy. Lower ego flexibility energy. These are the people that I've said are very rigid thinkers, meaning that they think they know the truth. They aren't interested in seeking the truth outside of themselves, and they would have a difficult time realizing that some of the truth they're thinking is false truth and it needs to be removed. So they're stuck on this edge of the continuum, having difficulty with seeking the truth they don't know and removing the false truth they do know. The kind of roles that I talked about involving the authoritarian, the racist, the religious extremist, the political extremist, the sexist, and so on. And these are kinds of things that people who are in this energy often think. For example, people who are different from me are deficient. They look down on people who are different, and it doesn't matter what their differentness may be. It could be a racial difference. It could be a gender orientation difference. It could be a sexual difference. It could be a religious ideology difference. They have a difficult time accepting people who are different because they almost view them as being at a distance from truth. Another example, and it would be people who think differently, meaning thinking differently from me are deficient. This is not the same as people who have different characteristics. This is about people who have different viewpoints on things, different perspectives on things that people with low ego flexibility have difficult time working with, quote, tolerating sometimes. They have a difficult time because they're stuck in that energy. They might even be able to acknowledge that some of the different ideas could be worthy of consideration. But again, it's just a good idea to think about it that way. It's not a reality they can embrace. They cannot live in that reality or be in that reality because the low ego power energy is keeping them stuck in the idea that those people who are thinking differently are deficient. Another example is that you can attack people for failing to know the truth. People with low ego flexibility energy, because they feel so strongly about their version of truth and that they believe they own the truth, feel they are in some respects justified for attacking people for not knowing the truth that they know, for not coming around to their way of looking at things and believing in things and understanding things. So a justification for attacking is there, rooted in this idea that because they don't know the truth, I can try to push them toward it by, you know, trying to insult them or attack them in some way. So that is obviously non-reality-based thinking that people can get caught up in with lower ego flexibility energy. The reality-based thought is that we shouldn't attack people just because they are different in the way they look or appear or the way they think, that we should be able to agree to disagree when it comes to different things and ways of looking at life, that people come from a different time and a place than we do. I'll mention one more real quickly before we go to our second break, which is that there is only one true way to understand God. And this gets into the spiritual wellness area. People who have low ego flexibility often have a rigid idea about how God is, who God is, where God is, what you got to do to be connected to God, and all those other things that maybe people, humans, construct in terms of how they want to know or understand God. And so there is a lot of intolerance for alternative views of ways of understanding God for people who often that serve other people in many different ways across the world. So these are some examples. The reality-based thought that the person who would need to gather or get to is the realization that there are many different ways to coming to know and understand God that serve people well. And that just because I have a certain view, that doesn't mean it's the only view. But again, that's a real hard one for people with lower ego flexibility to get onto. And that's why I think you've seen a lot of conflict that takes place, particularly between and within religions, due to that. We're coming up on our second break. When we return, we'll continue to talk about the ego-rooted, non-reality-based thinking that different ego energies, including higher ego flexibility and so on, can have upon the person's way of looking at things. You're listening to It's Your Ego Stupid. This is Dr. Nick, and I'll see you after the break.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, Dr. Nick here. I want to invite you to visit my website, egoandspirit.info, where you can find lots of information on ego and download your free ebook copy of It's Your Ego Stupid, Fix It to Fix Your Life. Also, please visit the shop page where you can find focused ego meditations that can help you know whether you are truly speaking with your voice in your life or ego is speaking for you.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's Your Ego Stupid, a program for intelligent, spiritual, and imperfect people, just like you and me. We're continuing to talk about ego-rooted, non-reality-based thoughts that we form if we're into a particular type of ego energy. We're going to continue by talking about higher ego flexibility energy. These are people who are often very flexible thinkers, meaning that they are too willing and to allow other people to enter into their mind and to influence the way they think, the way they feel about things, their beliefs, their values. I talk about the roles in two voices within, including the cultist and the adult child, the loyalist, as reflections of people who are engaging in that kind of weak processing of what they're being shown and told by other people. They have a difficult time knowing when to listen to the right people at the right times about the right things. I use an example in my book, I think it's Ego Therapy, where I say that imagine somebody, you allow somebody to come into your home and they started moving furniture around into different places and locations and you really didn't exercise any say over it. You just kind of let them do what they did. And imagine that furniture were your thoughts and your beliefs and your values. Well, this is what I'm referring to. Somebody who allows others to do their thinking for them. Somebody who emphasizing letting others tell them the truth, believing that others always know the truth better than I do. So as an example, some of the thoughts for ego-rooted thoughts that people within this energy often think are, I must come to know the truth through others only. I must come to know the truth through others only. So this whole idea that I can fashion and come to an understanding and use my own thoughts and perceptions and thinking to establish a sense of awareness of things that are going on within me and around me is something I have a difficult time doing. I need to rely on other people to do my thinking for me. I need to allow others to show me the truth that I do not know. And there are times, of course, when there are others who we can make use of that who are experienced. They have familiarity with certain aspects of life that we are not yet familiar with, and that can be useful to us. But we need to be able to filter out who those people are and not blindly and gullibly take on what people say and as gospel, because a lot of it is fake news. It's not real. It's not what is the case. But they may, you know, have some influence over us. They may have some prestige that we associate with validity. And oftentimes that can be a not good thing. Another reflection of this kind of ego energy affecting people's thoughts is the thought that people wouldn't mislead me. People wouldn't mislead me. Now that, again, high ego flexibility energy people often are very trusting and very naive and very gullible, and unfortunately can be misled into the wrong things and the wrong attitudes and values and so on. Sometimes that happens with our teenagers who are escaping from their family, so to speak, and they start to turn on to some peers, and the peers start to advocate a different way of thinking about doing things, and the kid wants to fit in, they want the trust, they want the respect, they want the sense of belonging, and they want the sense of acceptance. So that motivates them to blindly accept the things that other people are telling them, and they become a very high ego flexibility person. Unfortunately, they can be led to the kinds of things that can be harmful to them physically, legally, and so on. So this needs to be replaced by an awareness, you know, ego-rooted reality-based thinking, or reality-based thinking, which is that some people cannot be trusted. Some people should not be trusted. They haven't demonstrated a lack of familiarity or a lack of expertise to talk about a certain subject area of which they have no experience with. They have no expertise with. And so that's the kind of approach that a person who is shifting into a healthier place regarding their ego flexibility would begin to experience. Another reflection that sometimes people with high ego flexibility get into is this idea that others can tell me the best ways to knowing and finding love, that they lean upon other people to teach them about what love is and where you can get it and where you can't get it, who are the right people to love and who are the wrong people to love. And this, again, is just this open, unfiltered acceptance of what other people may be thinking or wanting us to think or believe that needs to be filtered appropriately as part of our own way of looking at things in terms of fashioning what we should be thinking in our mind. A healthy ego flexibility would allow us to do that. We are being able to make a distinction between good input and bad input, meaning reality-based versus non-reality-based, the right people to listen to, the wrong people to listen to, and so on. Alrighty, and one more thing, it would be others can tell me the best ways to know and understand God. That sometimes people are overly reliant upon others to help them know God, to understand God, and failing to maybe look inside of themselves to work with that idea that they can find their way to God from both within and from without, as opposed to maybe looking to others who may have agendas. Cultist leaders, perhaps particularly religious cultists, can be dangerous because they can feed into ideas and beliefs that may not ultimately serve that person. So that's a reflection of ego energy of being affected, affecting the thinking that people who have high ego flexibility are experiencing. Going to move on now. Going to talk about higher ego vulnerability energy. These are people who are having difficulty accepting their weaknesses, their imperfections, and their healthy human vulnerability. And this is somebody I remember as a younger person. Some of the roles that people may fall into are the perfectionist, the overachiever, the high-maintenance partner, the stressed-out person, and the order freak, just to name a few. These are all people who are having trouble dealing with accepting themselves as they are and having difficulty with accepting weaknesses. And so it starts to filter into the way they look at things. And one example I've seen a lot is that I must prove myself to be worthy of acceptance and love from others. I must prove myself to be worthy of acceptance and love from others. Now, again, this can be a thought that's going on the inside, or maybe it's on the outside. You're actually thinking that thought, and you know you're thinking that thought. And this whole idea of proving, I need to prove myself to others. I've seen that in working with people in therapy and probably was thinking this is not a good place because we don't have to prove anything to anybody. We can accept ourselves as we are while we're working to grow and learn and become a better version of ourselves. Now, that would be a reality-based thought, but this is one that a person with higher ego vulnerability would have a difficult time thinking, or they may think that it's a good idea. I shouldn't have to prove myself to anybody, but they can't live it. They cannot experience the experiential insight of living it, of being it. So they're stuck in that energy. Another example would be, I must prove myself to be worthy of acceptance and love from others or from myself. I don't know if I'm confusing that with the first one. I think I might have said it as from others. We don't have to prove ourselves to others, and we don't have to prove yourself to be worthy of acceptance and love from yourself. I hope I have that in order. Because again, we can begin to accept ourselves as we are, even as we need to work on growing and becoming progressively healthier and better versions of ourselves, something we can all do. That it's not something that's required. And sometimes, a lot of times when people are in this place, they're thinking, I cannot get to a better place unless I prove myself to others. They also will think it's not okay to have weaknesses and imperfections. The high ego vulnerability person has a difficult time accepting and having weaknesses and imperfections. So there's a need to get rid of them. Rather than learning to work with them and accept them, which is reality-based thinking, their idea is to maybe hide them or to remove them. And this is very difficult to do that. Okay, we're going to have to move on to the last one because I know we're running short on my time. Lower ego vulnerability. These are people who have difficulty. They're just the opposite of the high ego vulnerability person, meaning that they have a difficult time recognizing their weaknesses and their imperfections. They act as if they don't exist, and they absolutely don't think they exist. They don't believe they exist. This isn't somebody who's trying to pretend they are not weak. They absolutely have none of that. They don't believe in that. They don't think they have weaknesses. So some of the roles that people may come up with or fall into are the sociopath or the inattentive person, the sadist, the hedonist. All of these people are living in an energy where they tend to think that there's no weaknesses, there's nothing, there's no imperfections. So some of the thinking they get caught up in, I'll just group it together here. I don't have any real weaknesses or imperfections. So they just, there's no emotional cueing to help them to see that. They also don't think, they think, I don't have to stop being inconsiderate or disrespectful of others. They may see that they're being inconsiderate or disrespectful, calling people names, branding them negatively, but they don't care. That doesn't matter to them. They don't need to stop that. They may also be the kind of person who says, if it's not fun, it's not worth doing. Things have to be fun. I have to be entertained. And if it's not fun, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to do the stuff that's fun. So these people make poor teammates because they it has to be fun. They don't know how to work with the team. They don't know how to put the energies together in a way that could contribute to the team effort. They also may think that people only see the good things about me. They only realize and see what's good about me, and they fail to realize that, no, people are seeing everything about you, even the stuff that's not so good, that they're seeing all that is taking place. Again, some of this is because of the way their emotions work, the absence of emotions. They enjoy the positive, but they have a hard time seeing the negative. And I guess I'll mention one more quick one. They said, I'm not really hurting people's feelings when I mistreat them. So when they mistreat people, they lack the empathy to be able to register that, hey, I'm hurting somebody. And it could be their partner, it could be their child. There's just this low ego vulnerability energy that whatever I do is fine. It doesn't matter. It's not really hurting anybody. So we've just gone through some examples of what ego-rooted, non-reality-based thoughts can be formed depending on the nature of the ego energy and what it would need to shift toward in order for it to be healthy. We have reached the end of today's program. I hope that what I've shared with you about how to heal your ego energy will serve as a dose of ego medicine. Also, if what I've shared with you today resonates with you, please help me to share it with others. Next week, I'm going to begin painting with some finer strokes. My future programs will involve looking at a specific important life area and a specific ego energy's human and spiritual impact on it. As an example, next week the focus will be on the human and spiritual impact that low ego power has on our ability to love ourselves in healthy ways. We'll be looking at the symptoms, ego stupidity, and insights needed to recognize and heal lower ego power energy when it's impacting our ability to love ourselves, which includes the use of ego medicine. I want to end today's program with this message. The great news is that working to heal your ego energy using ego medicine and by growing your awareness of its symptoms, ego stupidity, insights, and spiritual impact will allow the divine truth in your being to flow and to shine through you and allow you to fully embrace each of the divine gifts. The spiritual part of healing is a given. It's part of your endowment. Divine truth and the divine gifts are part of your heritage that already exists within you. You need do nothing more to be spiritual because you already are. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. You only need to enhance your humanity with ego medicine so that all which is available to you is given. Fix your ego to fix your life, humanly and spiritually. I want to thank you for listening and allowing me to be your servant. I want you to have a great week, and please come back to my next program. In peace and love, this is Dr. Nick saying goodbye for now.